हरे कृष्ण कीर्तिदा सुंदरी माता जी, दंडवत प्रणाम, शिल प्रपात की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय। थैंक यू सो मच माता जी फॉर ज्वाइनिंग एंड गिविंग योर वैल्यूबल असिस्टेंस। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्णा। आई वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू भक्त संगा जपा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हर क्रेज प्रीति विलासिनी माता जी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन टॉपिक श्री बृहद भागवतामृत सेशन 15। हरे कृष्णा प्रीति विलासिनी माता जी, प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माई हम्बल ओबेसेंस। शिल प्रपात की जय, गुरु महाराज की जय। थैंक यू सो मच फॉर योर वैल्यूबल असिस्टेंस माता जी एंड योर टाइम We are very fortunate to have you on the call today, Mataji. Please take over the call. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, can you all hear me?
Oh, Hare Krishna, sorry. Sorry, yeah, I just want to check if the voice is all right. I have logged in through phone and I have gone YouTube live.
Mataji, the phone is very clarity, Mataji. I will share the live link in the group, Mataji.
Okay, and also tell me if the audio is there on the YouTube live.
Okay, sure, Mataji. I will check and tell you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini, Mataji. He says live, so then we'll be able to see you on a screen.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, thank you. Because once before I didn't see, that's why I was saying.
So Vinaya Mataji will share a YouTube link, and from that link you can see. Actually, this is not. You will not see me on the FCC app. We can do
Hare
that,
Krishna,
but then
Mataji,
I think
we can see you. We can hear you. Everything is beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much.
So during question and answer session, I will unplug. Yeah. So Vinaya Mataji will share the link for you and you can see Mataji.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So when the question answer session begins, I will unplug my headphones, okay? Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Continuing our study of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Srila Sanatan Goswami. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांगस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत् कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं। नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधानाथस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमा ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रीला सनातन गोस्वामी। माय दंडवत्स टू एवरीवन ऑन द कॉल। प्लीज ब्लेस मी सो दैट आई मे स्पीक अ फ्यू वर्ड्स ऑन दिस मोस्ट वंडरफुल स्क्रिप्चर श्री बृहद भागवतामृत द एसेंस ऑफ द भागवतम। सो इन आवर प्रीवियस सेशन वी सॉ हाउ हनुमान was glorifying the Pandavas as the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. So Hanuman described how the Pandavas, they actually brought the Lord in their control by their pure love. And the Lord would simply do anything for the Pandavas. The Lord acted as their messenger. He acted as their advisor, their night watchman, charioteer, servant, and even court attendant. So that's how Lord Krishna, he became subservient to the love of the Pandavas, that he would go to any extent to serve the Pandavas. So we saw all this in our previous session. And hearing these glories of the Pandavas in a very excited state, Narada Muni, he got up and he was all ready to go and see the Pandavas and the Lord. So he shook Hanuman and he said, Uttishta, Uttishta, Hanuman, get up, let's go right now. Let's go and see the Pandavas. So that's where we stopped in our previous session and we will continue from there. So initially, we saw also in our previous session that Hanuman was the first one who said, maybe we should go there and take the, you know, we should go and take darshan of the Pandavas and learn from them how to serve. And when Narada Muni was very excited and he told Hanuman, okay, okay, get up, let's go, let's go. At that time, Hanuman, his mood changed. So that's where we stopped. Hanuman, he became a little sober and then he sighed a bit and he thought for a minute. And he bowed down his head in front of Narada Muni as if asking for forgiveness. And he told Narada, he said, Narada, you are right. It is correct. It is perfect for us to go and see the Pandavas. The Pandavas are the most worshipable. And just to go and see them, just get their darshan itself is so auspicious. What to talk about performing services to such great Vaishnavas. Just taking their darshan itself is good enough. But then, Narada, the Lord is in Dwaraka. And there it is said that the Lord is showing some real uncommon sweetness and mercy. Very, very sweet pastimes. And these pastimes are so confidential that it is nothing like what he has shown before. Nothing like what he has exhibited in Ayodhya. Nothing like what he exhibits in Vaikuntha. These pastimes are so sweet. They are so personal. And these pastimes are so enchanting and uncommon. So even self-realized souls, when they go and suddenly see such sweet pastimes, they will get bewildered. Because, you know, Hanuman, he personally was not used to seeing the Lord in such a relaxed and informal manner. So he was thinking, suddenly if I go, maybe I will commit offenses. So Hanuman by nature, he was not used to relating to the Lord in a very relaxed manner. And Hanuman was scared of his fear of offending Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So even in Dwaraka, Krishna is actually in a very, in a mood of sweetness. What to talk of the sweetness of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, it is a million times more. In Dwaraka also, it is very, very sweet. So Hanuman was very scared. He was very, very scared of making some offenses. Hanuman was not used to it. He was worried because he was worried that he may become confused and he may do something wrong. So he told Narada, Narada, actually even your own father, Brahmaji, Brahma, he is the spiritual master of this entire universe. He is the founder acharya of all the Vedic teachings and he is your father. He is our, you know, he is the creator of all, the secondary creator of all living entities. Such a great person, even he got bewildered. Even he got bewildered seeing Krishna's pastimes. Who am I? I am just an insignificant monkey. What guarantee is there that I will not get bewildered or I will not make any offenses? So we all know the Brahma Vimohan Leela that is described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of the sweetest pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam are described in the 10th canto, the pastimes of Krishna. And specifically, the chapter that talks about the Brahma Vimohan Leela is actually very, very interesting. So it is described that Krishna, after killing the snake demon called as Aghasura, he along with his cowherd friends, they were all doing a picnic in the forest. So Krishna and all his cowherd friends, they were all enjoying a very nice picnic in the forest. And at that time, Krishna had killed a demon by the name Aghasura. So right after this, the Brahma Vimohan Leela happened actually when Brahma got bewildered. So what happened was the calves that Krishna and you know his cowherd friends were taking out, all of them, the calves, they were allured by the green grass. And gradually, slowly seeing this fresh green grass, they started you know, moving away and away. And they went away from Krishna's purview in search of nice fresh grass. So since the calves had gone away very, very far, the cowherd boys, they became a little anxious. They wanted to bring back the calves. you know, before they could all honor their lunch. But Krishna, however, he told the cowherd boys, he said, you all take your tiffin, you all eat nicely, don't get agitated, I will take the responsibility, I will go out to the pasture fields and find out the calves and I will bring them back. So Krishna said like this to the cowherd boys, and he proceeded and he asked the boys to continue eating, and he went to find the calves who were missing. They all went away in search of green grass, and somehow they went missing, the cowherd boys couldn't see them. So the Lord went like that in search of the calves. But what had happened to the calves? The cows and the calves. Actually, Brahma took away the calves and the cowherd boys and he kept them in a very secluded place. Why? Because Brahma wanted to test Krishna. He wanted to see, is it the Supreme Lord? He's eating with his cowherd friends like a normal boy. The Supreme Lord, he eats and sacrifices. He's a Yajna book. He eats and sacrifices. What is this? He's enjoying pastimes with his cowherd boys, and one boy is taking some food in the left hand and he's putting it in Krishna's mouth. What is this? Is this the Supreme Lord? So he was bewildered. He was bewildered seeing the uncommon pastimes of the Supreme Lord. He couldn't believe it. So he wanted to test who it is, whether it is really Krishna, whether Krishna is really there. He wanted to test. And therefore, he actually took away the calves and the cowherd boys and he kept them in a secluded place. Now, when Krishna, he went in search of these calves and he was unable to, you know, find the calves and the boys, he could understand very well that this was a trick performed by Brahma. So, then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's the cause of all causes. And just to please Brahma as well as to please his own associates, who are the cowherd boys, his own associates who were around him, and also the mothers of the cowherd boys, he expanded himself into the different calves and the boys exactly as they were before. So in this way, he performed another pastime. Krishna continued to perform his pastime. He himself expanded into all the calves and all the cowherd boys, and he gave pleasure to all the residents in Vrindavan. And not only that, he also took this as a, you know, chance to actually curb the pride of Brahma. So as the pastime, you know, unfolded, all the mothers of the cowherd boys, they actually became more and more attached to their own respective sons. And the cows became more and more attached to their calves. Actually, now the sons and the calves were all Krishna, right? So obviously the love that the mothers were showing and the cows were showing towards their calves and towards their children became multiplied because it was Krishna himself. So everybody, Vrindavan was like in such a wonderful mood. Everyone was enjoying because of this bewilderment of Brahma. So then what happened was, time went by because, you know, it was just about a minute since Brahma took the boys and he came back. But then in the earthly time calculation, what happened was almost 1 year had passed by. So for 1 year, Krishna was enjoying these pastimes with all the residents of Vrindavan. So over a period of time, nearly after a year, Baladev, who is the brother of Krishna, he observed that all these cowherd boys and calves were actually expansions of Krishna. And he had a doubt in his mind. So he went and he inquired from Krishna, and then Krishna explained to him what had happened. So when 1 full year had passed, according to earthly calculation, actually Brahma returned, and he saw that Krishna was still engaged in all his usual activities, and actually all the calves and the cowherd boys, they were all present there in the same forest, and they were eating the same lunch. Everything was perfect. And just to bewilder Brahma, Krishna, he assumed his forehand form, and all the calves around him, all the cowherd boys around him, all of them, they had assumed this four-armed form, and Brahma got this darshan. He saw that everybody around had assumed this four-armed form of Narayana. So Brahma could then understand this is Krishna's potency. And he was astonished by the pastimes of Krishna. He was simply astonished looking at all these wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So Brahma then, he was humbled and he was released from his illusion. And then he began to offer very beautiful, beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. So this is described in the 10th canto, described in a few chapters, and we just saw a summary of this pastime. So Hanuman said, if this is the situation of Brahma, Brahma got bewildered. He's supposed to be the most intelligent living entity. And what to talk about me? I'm just a foolish monkey. What's the guarantee that I won't get bewildered by seeing the sweetness in Krishna's pastimes? Because Krishna's pastimes, they can unfold in the most strange ways. So where is the guarantee that I, a foolish monkey, wouldn't get bewildered by this? So I'm really afraid of committing offenses. And if Brahma can get bewildered, a monkey like me, I can totally lose my intelligence just the moment I see Krishna. So I'm scared. So like this, Hanuman, actually he explained to Narada Muni why he was hesitating to go and see Krishna at this point when he was performing his pastimes. Now, however, one may suggest that Brahma, if you look at Brahma, he had this attachment to a position, a high situation, right? Brahma is a big demigod. So one may suggest that maybe Brahma, he had this attachment to knowledge because he's a very intelligent personality. So maybe he's very attached to knowledge and he's attached to position. So therefore, he could have become confused. One may suggest, you know, you can just throw out that option. But Hanuman is a pure devotee. He's a very humble devotee. So how can a humble devotee succumb to such bewilderment, right? That is a question that one may ask. But then Hanuman himself indicates that Narada Muni was also kind of bewildered when Narada Muni visited the 16,108 palaces of Krishna. Now, Narada was not offensive. He didn't make any offenses or he didn't do anything wrong. But then he was stunned and he was bewildered when he actually went and saw Krishna performing pastimes in the 16,108 palaces of all his queens. So when he was playing this role of a householder, the Supreme Lord, the cause of all causes, the controller, he, the Lord Nara, Lord of all Lords, Lord Narayana, the Lord of all opulence, he was playing the humble role of a king. He was playing the humble role of a householder. When Narada saw all this, Narada himself was bewildered. He was like amazed looking at what all Krishna was doing. So Hanuman was telling, even great devotees, they simply get amazed, you know, because Krishna's pastimes are so uncommon, they are so rare and they are so sweet. So this is what Hanuman was trying to tell, you know, maybe I'm not the appropriate person to go and see Krishna. So actually there is one chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam that describes about how Narada Muni was simply amazed to see the household pastimes of Lord Krishna and how Narada Muni actually offered his obeisances to the Lord. So after in Krishna's pastimes actually, after he killed Narakasura, the demon Narakasura or Bhavamasura, Lord Krishna simultaneously, he married 16,100 queens. Besides that, Krishna also had 8 principal queens. So now Krishna had 16,108 wives. So a common man may ask, what kind of God are you worshipping? 16,108 queens? What is this? But then Krishna is God. He is not like an ordinary person. 16,108 queens means 16,108 forms of Krishna. Each queen had an individual form with which she would relate to. So Narada went and he witnessed this entire thing. That is the Supreme Lord. He is not like some yogi who can just manifest himself in 8 or 9 forms and just do something very simple. This is Krishna. He is the Supreme Lord. He is the husband of all the living entities. What to talk of 16,108 queens. So Narada had this desire to go and see Krishna, how he was performing pastimes. So Narada went and he wanted to absorb himself and observe these diverse activities in such a unique family situation. Because Krishna was in a very unique family situation, so many queens. What did Narada say? So Narada, first he entered one of the 16,108 palaces. There he saw goddess Rukmini Devi, the principal queen, the first queen. She was personally rendering all kinds of menial services to Krishna. Rukmini's palace had other maid servants also. So generally when you have a maid, the maid would be doing all the odd jobs. But when Krishna was present, Rukmini, she was doing all the menial services. She is the goddess of fortune. She herself was personally serving Krishna and she was doing all menial services for Krishna. And as soon as the Lord saw that Narada was visiting his palace, Rukmini's palace, he got up and he offered Narada Muni in his own seat. Then he got up from his bed, he paid obeisance, and he started to wash the feet of Narada Muni like you would receive a Brahmana. So he personally washed the feet of Narada Muni and he sprinkled the water on his own head. That was the mode of Krishna. He was so exemplary. He showed by example how you must worship sages and Brahmanas. So Narada, this was his first visit, first palace visit. And he spoke with the Lord for a short time and then he went on to another palace. So there he saw Krishna. He was playing there in the next palace, in Satyabhama's palace, was playing with a dice with his queen and with Uddhava there. So he was doing something totally different from what he was doing in the first palace. So he was playing dice and he was giving company to Uddhava. Then he went on to another palace. There he saw Krishna was actually cuddling his infant children. Krishna had children and he was taking care of his children. In another place, he saw Krishna preparing to go for a bath. In another place, Krishna was performing fire sacrifices. And some that he was performing noontime rituals. In another place, he was chanting his Gayatri mantra. In one place, he was sleeping in his bed. In another place, he was consulting with his ministers. Yet in another place, he was performing water pastimes in Dwaraka. So like there's so many diverse pastimes and Narada, who was witnessing all these pastimes of Krishna, he was totally bewildered. And he was thinking how wonderful this Krishna is. In one place, Krishna was actually meditating on himself because he himself is the super soul. So he was meditating on himself. And in another place, he was ready to go incognito in the city in the guise of, like how kings, they go incognito to find out the problems of the state. So like that Krishna was going in the town incognito. So like this, when Narada saw all this, he was like totally bewildered. And during these pastimes, actually it is mentioned that Jiva Goswami, he explains that actually Narada was in great distress when he saw all this and he observed these things of Krishna. Why was he in great distress? Jiva Goswami explains that because he was received and he was worshipped by the Lord, the Lord washed his feet and sprinkled the water from Narada's feet on his head. So Narada felt very bad. He is the Supreme Lord. He is my worshipable Lord. I am his servant. But what is this? Krishna is worshipping my feet. So Narada became very distressed seeing the situation. That is the sweetness of Krishna. But Narada was extremely distressed when he saw this. You know, it was not a rasa that he was used to. Because he was always seeing himself as the dasa, as the servant of the Lord. But when the Lord received him like this and gave him so much respect and honor, he was confused actually. He felt very, very distressed. So Krishna, but he explained to Narada Muni, he said, I state in the Bhagavad Gita, yadyad acharati shreshta tatta tevetarojana. That means whatever a great person does, ordinary people, they have to follow. So therefore, I bathed your feet today in order to propagate these principles of religion. So you don't think that you have committed an offense by allowing me to bathe your feet today and I accepted the remnants of the water. All this I just do to establish religious principles because you're a sage and I am performing the duty of a householder. So Krishna tells Narada Muni, he tells, just as the son does not offend his father by touching him with his foot when sitting on the father's lap, similarly, you should understand me in this way. So my dear son Narada, you have not offended me. So like this Krishna explains, this is there in the purports of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, they give insights into what Narada was thinking. So Hanuman said, see Narada Muni, you know what you experience. It is sweetness, yes. No doubt it is pure sweetness. But then, be it a devotee, like Hanuman or meet a devotee like Narada or meet Brahma himself, when they see such uncommon sweetness, they may tend to get confused. So this is what Hanuman was explaining. He said, actually, the Lord's pastimes are so wonderful. And there's every chance that I may get bewildered and I may do something wrong. Narada didn't do anything wrong, but your Hanuman was scared. Maybe I may do something wrong. And I am not used to seeing the Lord in this particular fashion. And the aim of me as a devotee is just to think of the Lord's pastimes constantly and absorb in the thoughts of the Lord. And the Lord is my only resort from all danger. That is how I see the Lord, and I want to continue to see the Lord like this. Anyway, he told finally, after he explained all this, Hanuman said, finally, Narada Muni, the actual reason, he comes to the actual reason. He tells, the actual reason why I'm not coming is because I feel simply more attracted to the Supreme Lord in His eternal identity as Lord Ramachandra, as Lord Raghunatha, the son of Dasharath, the son of Kausalya. He is my worshipable Lord. Lord Ram, he is spontaneously attracted to the exchanges to His loving devotees. These exchanges that Ram and His devotees have, they are very, very special. Ramachandra, he is so special because he demonstrates how to follow properly religious duties of civilized people, and he upholds very strict vows of having only one wife. He is Maryada Purushottam. And his eyes are always fixed on the ground with humility. He is a personification of all, you know, the most respectable form of the Lord. That is the Lord I want to worship. His exalted character is simply pleasing to all. He stands with a bow in his hand. His brothers are serving him. He is the hero of the city of Ayodhya. Bharata, Shatrughna, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, all of them are next to him. He is the lord of all the race of the monkeys like me. And he is the one who gave shelter to a demon like Vibhishan. He is my worshipable Lord. I feel this kind of, you know, intense devotion only to my Lord Ramachandra. So I hear these pastimes of Krishna. I've heard all these pastimes of Krishna. And actually by hearing to all these pastimes of Krishna, the truth is that my attraction towards my worshipable Lord Ramachandra is actually increasing just by listening to the pastimes of Krishna. So it's not that my attraction towards Krishna is coming. Rather, my attraction towards Lord Ramachandra is increasing by hearing these glories of Krishna. So I just want to drink these immortal, nectarine pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. That is all actually I want. So like this, he explains to Narada the real reason. So he said, I'm really not completely independent. I just cannot go like that to any place. I'm now situated in Kempurusha Varsha. And I understand that Lord Ram is the expansion of Devaki Nandan. But then I see a natural attraction to Lord Ram. Therefore, he said, I must stay here. And sometimes, you know what? Lord Ram has some personal requests that he may ask of me. At that time, I will go to execute his order. Just like recently, when the war was happening, I was ordered to go and stay on the flag of Arjuna. So under such circumstances, when I'm given specific assignments, short period assignments, I will go and I will serve. Or sometimes, just inspired by affection, sometimes he may call me to show his beautiful form as Lord Ramachandra. At that time, I will go to that place, take darshan, offer and prayers, and I will come back. But then, I cannot leave Lord Ram's service for anything else. My service is here in Kempurusha Loka to serve these deities of Lord Ramachandra. Wherever there is Ram Katha spoken, I will go and listen. I will just continue to perform these exclusive services that I am doing and that Lord Ram has assigned to me. So, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami, he explains a very, very beautiful story in this connection. Once, in Dwaraka, Lord Krishna, he wanted to break the pride of Garuda. So he wanted to break the pride of Garuda and many other devotees by showing the steadfast exclusiveness of Vaishnava devotion that is exhibited by people like Hanuman. So Krishna, once he called Garuda to his lotus feet in Dwaraka, and he told Garuda, Garuda, you now go to Kim Purushavloka. You go there, Hanuman is staying there. You go there and you ask Hanuman to come here immediately. So Garuda said, okay, my lord. And he flew from Dwaraka. He went to Kim Purushavarsha. And he went to Hanuman and he told Hanuman, Krishna, the Lord Dwarkadish, the Lord of Dwaraka, the King of the Yadavas, he's calling you. He wants to see you right now. So please come with me. Hanuman, actually, he ignored Garuda's request. And he didn't even give a ear to what Garuda was asking, you know, the request of Garuda. He didn't care for Garuda's request. And Garuda was thinking, what is this? The Lord has called you. And he tried to pull Hanuman by force. He was trying to pull Hanuman to take him to Dwaraka. And Hanuman, he with a tip of his tail, he just pushed Garuda effortlessly. And Garuda went flying from Kim Purushaloka and he went and fell down at the feet of Krishna in Dwaraka. He was just pushed by the tip of the tail of Hanuman. So Garuda went falling like that, and when Krishna saw Garuda like this, Krishna asked what happened, and then Garuda explained that, you know, I went and called him, I even tried to pull him by force, but he wouldn't come, he just threw me like this and I came here and I fell down at your feet. Then what Krishna did was, he said okay, and he turned himself into Lord Ramachandra. He took the form of Lord Ramachandra, and he asked Balaram to take the form of Lakshman, and he asked Satyabhama, who was near him, to take the form of Sita Devi. But then Satyabhama, she couldn't take the form of Sita Devi, because that is her style of exclusive devotion. She'll never compromise her, her position as Satyabhama. So she couldn't take the form of Sita Devi. So therefore, he requested Rukmini, and Rukmini, in all her submissiveness, she took the form of Sita Devi, and she stood towards the left of Krishna, who was now in the form of Lord Ramachandra. So now Garuda was sent back to Hanuman, and he was told to go and bring Hanuman again, and he was told, go and tell Hanuman that actually Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi are waiting for you. They want to give you darshan, they are calling you. So like this, when Garuda went back to Kim Purushaloka, and he went and saw Hanuman, he went and told Hanuman that actually your Lord Ram is waiting. Lord Ram is waiting to give darshan to you. He is calling you. Can you come now? So when Hanuman was called like this, Hanuman came running. And he came immediately. He just came immediately there. And he saw all the three of them standing there like that so beautifully in Dwaraka. And he took darshan of the Lord. He saw Krishna, who was actually in the guise of Ram. And he offered prayers with so much love and so much devotion. So Hanuman's spontaneous attraction was only towards Ram. And Lord Ramachandra was his entire life and soul. So Ramachandra was his Ishtadev. So Hanuman couldn't think of anyone else other than Lord Ramachandra. So now Gaur Purnima is fast approaching. And from tomorrow we have a special Gaur Katha seminar. So it would be appropriate to discuss one story from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So we all know Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta in Chaitanya Leela, he was Hanuman. So when the Supreme Lord descends, all his associates and all his paraphernalia, they also descend to this world just to support the Leela that the Lord performs. So one such eternal associate was Murari Gupta. Now, Murari Gupta, he was actually a disciple of Sri Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Murari Gupta was also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's senior at his school. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he studied during his early days under Gangadas Pandit in Navadvip, his school. So, there his senior was actually Murari Gupta. So, he became a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, and once Mahaprabhu, just to test Murari Gupta's attachment to his worshipable Lord Sri Ramachandra, he began to preach to Murari Gupta. So Lord Chaitanya he began to preach to Murari Gupta about the supreme sweetness and the supreme position of Krishna, saying Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, he is the source of all incarnation, he is the sweetest, you can have all the rasas with Krishna, he is Vrajendra Nandan, he is the sweetest and he is the most worshipable Lord. So Murari, you actually go and take shelter of Lord Krishna. You know, literally he was trying to convince Murari Gupta that your worshipable Lord should be Krishna rather than Lord Ramachandra. Nothing but the service to Krishna can actually satisfy your mind and heart. So like this, Lord Gauranga, he was trying to preach to Murari Gupta. Now, Murari Gupta, although he became somewhat inclined towards Lord Chaitanya and he became inclined towards worship of Krishna, just the thought of him of giving up the worship of Lord Ramachandra's bhakti and becoming a lifelong devotee of Krishna actually devastated him. He just couldn't digest it. First, initially when he was listening to all this from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was thinking, maybe I should satisfy Lord Chaitanya. But then he just went back and he was thinking, just the thought of him becoming a lifelong devotee of Krishna and giving up the service of Lord Ramachandra was so, difficult for him. He just couldn't digest this, nor could he stop the worship of Lord Ram. At the same time, he was thinking, how am I going to deny this request of Lord Chaitanya? So the entire night, Murari Gupta was crying and crying and crying. He just didn't know what to do. Because of his exclusive devotion to Lord Ramachandra, he just didn't know what to do. And then the next day he went and he told Lord Chaitanya, what should I do? I don't know what I should do. I've sold my heart to the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. How can I give up the service of Lord Ram? But if I disobey your order to worship Krishna, then I will become a great offender. You have given me an order to worship Krishna. Now if I disobey you, I'm going to become an offender. At the same time, in the heart of my heart, I can never give up the worship of Lord Ram. Only Lord Ram can be my worshipable deity. What can I do? So therefore, I'll give up my life. That's the only solution to this problem. I just cannot do this. So like this, Murari Gupta, he explained to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was so happy. He was jumping. He was smiling. He said, all glories to you, Murari. You're so fixed in your worship. You're so fixed. Even my personal request couldn't change your mind. Imagine if we are personally requested by the Lord to do something, we would obviously do it. But look at the devotion of Hanuman. The devotion of Hanuman, the exclusive devotion he had towards Lord Ramachandra was so great that he could not even, he didn't know how to handle the request of the Lord. He just got so worried. How am I going to satisfy everyone? So that was the mood of Murari Gupta. So this type of single-minded love and devotion a bhakta must have for the chosen Ishtadeva of his. Ishta, single focused devotion. So that is what Murari Gupta teaches. So even if the Lord wants separation, a devotee cannot abandon the shelter of his lotus feet. This is the mood of the devotion of a particular devotee who's fixed in his devotion towards his Ishtadev. So the Lord said, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Murari Gupta, this is wonderful. You are in fact Hanuman and you are the eternal servant of Lord Ram. What else can I expect from you? You can never give up the service of Lord Ramachandra. So your Ishtadev is Sitaram and you will always remain as a devotee of Sitaram. Nothing can change this. So this was Murari Gupta from Chaitanya Leela. So coming back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we saw the devotion of Hanuman. Hanuman explained to Narada Muni about his exclusiveness, about how difficult for him it was to change his mind. Then he told Narada, actually Narada, I must stay here. And the Lord may call me anytime. He called me for his services, so the Lord may call me anytime, so I should be ready, I should be waiting here. That is my duty, I should not get diverted now. So you go there, you go and visit the Pandavas, you go and see their home, see how they are worshipping the Lord, and go and see Krishna, see how Krishna is behaving like an ordinary human being. Just go and see everything. The Pandavas are so special, they don't follow any strict sadhana. But Lord Krishna is simply so satisfied by the simple devotion that they are showing. So you go there and you see for yourself. So Hanuman then also told Narada something important. He said, Narada, but one thing, remember something. Yourself, myself, the four Kumaras, we are all strict celibates. We are all brahmacharis. Just because the Pandavas are householders and they don't desire, anything material, don't think, just because the Pandavas are simple householders and they are engaged in these kingly affairs, though not being attached to it, don't think they are ordinary. They just don't think them to be ordinary. These Pandavas, they just don't desire anything other than Krishna. They are always fixed in their constant worship of the lotus feet of Krishna. They are very saintly, and their lotus feet is actually worshipped by Paramahamsa sages, understanding the kind of devotion that they have. Even great sages, they go to Hastinapur to actually visit these Pandavas and learn from them. Just because they are not brahmacharis, just because they are householders, just because they are kings, don't think they are ever attached to all the opulence that is around them. They are actually very detached from all that, and their focus, their mind is always fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. So one may ask, if their aim was only pure devotional service, then why did they have to take up kingly responsibilities? Where is the need? They could have said, I don't want to become the king, and they could have lived in the forest. So actually that is where the nature of King Yudhishthir is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:12:24, I'll read the word. Sri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like a father. He had no personal ambition and he was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. That was the devotion of Yudhishthir. This is declared in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what did he do as a king to gratify all his citizens? He just didn't, give them materialistic economy as a king. He encouraged all of them to become Krishna conscious, and he made all practical arrangements for all his citizens towards that end. This is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's purports, they speak extensively about the reign of Yudhishthir Maharaj. What a wonderful king he was. He was not only concerned about materialistic progress of the kingdom, rather he was worried about the citizens' advancement in Krishna consciousness. So a true leader is one who instills devotion in the hearts of his subjects, who are all tormented by this material existence, because pure devotional service is the only thing that gives real happiness to the soul. Nothing else. Everything else is temporary. All the happiness that we have in this world is temporary. It is flickering, like a flickering bulb. Just flickering, flickering. But then, pure devotional service is the only thing that gives real happiness to the soul. So, the opulence of King Yudhishthir was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven, they were actually envious of, the opulence that Yudhishthir was having. Imagine the kind of opulence that Yudhishthir was living in Hastinapur. Everything around him was so glorious. We read in Mahabharata how, his palace was so fantastic. It was so nice. The demon Maya actually constructed that palace. Everything was so beautiful. But then what was the mood of Yudhishthir Maharaj? Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was absorbed in the service of the Lord. He was continuously thinking of the Lord. And nothing other than the service of the Lord could actually satisfy his heart. That's why he's also known as Haridas. He's one of the three Haridasas who are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Haridasa Varyo is Govardhan. And then we have Uddhava. And then we have Yudhishthir. The three of them are mentioned as Haridas in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in spite of so much opulence, this was the mood of Yudhishthir Maharaj. We also know that in Vedic civilization, the king had a right to claim 1/6 of the citizen's total wealth. But the king also received 1/6 of the total karma of all the citizens. Okay, so being a king means responsibility. Yudhishthir Maharaj, not only was he rich because he was a king, But also, he had to receive 1/6 of the total karma of all his people. Now, thinking of Yudhishthira Maharaj, obviously his kingdom was very, very pious. The kingdom of the Pandavas was very, very pious. So that means Yudhishthira Maharaj, he received a huge stock of good karma because the people around him were pious. The stock of good karma was actually increasing for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And not only that, the five brothers, they are universally celebrated for their unity, just like the sons of Dasharath, the four sons of Dasharath, how they were very united. Similarly, the five Pandavas, they were considered to be a personification of unity among brothers. And they were also known for upholding very high religious principles. So Yudhishthir, not only was he very pious, not only was he, his citizens pious, but also he performed Rajasuya Yajna and Ashwamedha Yajna, and he earned more pious credits because of that. And he became the emperor of the entire Jambudvipa. In the previous yuga, he was the emperor of the entire Jambudvipa. So you can imagine, usually in Vedic sacrifices like Ashwamedha, if a person performs such sacrifices like Ashwamedha Yajna and others, he is capable of even going to the heavenly realm. But Yudhishthir, when he performs such sacrifices or when he accrued any good karma, what would he do? He would offer it in devotion to Krishna. So whenever he performed sacrifices like the Rajasuya or the Ashwamedha, whatever credit was obtained, he would offer it with a full heart to Krishna. He would give it back to Krishna, all this. So therefore, he received transcendental benefits. Sanatana Goswami explains the benefits that he received was not mundane pious credits, but it was transcendental. He earned spiritual credits of even entering Vaikuntha. What to talk of these 70 planets? The kind of credits that Yudhishthir had earned would give him entry into Vaikuntha. So Yudhishthir had enough benefits, and the demigods would envy his possessions. And his possessions were completely purified because he always offered them in Krishna's service. All that he did was for Krishna's service. Therefore, all the assets that Yudhishthira Maharaj had was permanent. And Yudhishthira's character was enhanced because he dedicated everything in the service of the Lord. Perfect grihastha life. Whatever he did it for the service of Krishna. Yudhishthira exemplified this. Therefore, he is glorified so much again and again. Then Hanuman explained how Yudhishthira's heart was always burning with the fire of love for Krishna. So all that Yudhishthira had around him, the opulent palace, the costly garments, the sandalwood paste, the garlands that he was wearing, nothing actually attracted him. This was the inside nature of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Nothing actually attracted him. Just like when a person is very, very hungry and the hunger in the stomach, it dries up all the other elements of the body. You go and you offer this person anything other than food. You go and give him very good entertainment. You play very good music. You give him a huge palace to live in. You give him costly garments. All this will only give him more and more frustration. It will not give him happiness. Hunger is removed only when you give him food. That is the only thing this person is thinking of. Similarly, the heart of Yudhishthir was so intense, the love and devotion in his heart was so intense that really nothing satisfied him other than the love for Krishna. That was the only thing that he was hankering over and over. Just like we see the story of the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis of Vrindavan, the kind of love that they exhibited was obviously much, much, much higher. Externally, these gopis, they seem to be suffering. They seem to be suffering something. It appears like, they were in deep pain. They were undergoing all this torture. They seem to be tormented in separation from the Lord in Virahabhav, in separation. But, but even when they were with the Lord, when they were separated, they seemed to be burning in separation. Even when they were with the Lord, they were burning in apprehension of being separated from the Lord. So these gopis, they were undergoing such kind of very, very difficult emotions that may appear to be very painful. But these were the most intimate devotees of the Lord, and they were experiencing actually the highest essence of loving ecstasy. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the gopis, during the autumn season, they would feel these cool breezes to be hot. They would feel like hot air is blowing on them. Why were they feeling that these cool breezes were hot during the autumn season? Because the fire of love was burning inside their heart. They were hankering to be with Krishna, and it would reach its peak during the autumn season, because that was the time when they would go and stay in the company of Krishna. So Yudhishthir, he was like this. He was oblivious of all the opulence around him because the love for Krishna was burning in his heart. He couldn't think of the opulence that was there around him. Hanuman described all this. Hanuman told about the real intensity of the love that was there in the heart of Yudhishthir. Then Hanuman continued. Not only Yudhishthir, even his queen Draupadi and the brothers Arjuna, Bhima, they are also very glorious. We all know about the kind of surrender that Draupadi did. She was such a wonderful devotee. We see the glories of the other brothers also. They were also very wonderful. Arjuna was such a glorious devotee. Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva. They were all very, very wonderful devotees. And the attachment that Yudhishthir had to his brothers and his wife, it was not because they were family members and, you know, they were helping him advance, in his day-to-day life, or they were helping him in reaching the four goals, which is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, or, you know, they were just his family members who are helping. It was not like that. His attachment to his brothers and his wife was not on a material platform. Rather, he understood that my brothers and my wife are eternal servants of Krishna. They are Vaishnavas, they are Vaishnavi. So therefore, his love intensified for his brothers and his wife Draupadi. Draupadi, she was extremely beautiful. She was empowered by the beauty of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. She is the most beautiful, right? Lakshmi is the most beautiful. Draupadi was empowered by the beauty of Lakshmi Devi, actually. So Yudhishthir's attachment to his wife was not for her beauty, but rather because she is such a great Vaishnavi. So usually when Vaishnavas come together, we see that some kind of affection is developed in their hearts. That is because they relish each other's company as they taste Krishna consciousness. Their spiritual assets, whatever they have, that keeps expanding as they come together, and they simply take pleasure in magnifying the good qualities of each other. Generally, when Vaishnavas come together, we see definitely there is some kind of bonding that comes, and our love for each other actually increases. So even in our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference, we have not really met each other, or we have not really spent personal time with each other on a day-to-day basis. But we see that there is some kind of bonding that is there. We just love each other. There is so much admiration for each other, and there is so much bonding, and there is so much appreciation for each other, right? Like, we get so excited when we see devotees are doing wonderful services, and we are so inspired by each other. Why? Why is that so? That is because everyone is serving Krishna so genuinely. And when we see that the love that we are showing for Krishna is so wonderful, we begin to glorify the qualities in everyone, and our appreciation, our love for them, their respect, our respect for them, everything develops and it keeps increasing. The common point is actually the love that they are showing towards Krishna. That is increasing our love for each other. So it's such a beautiful psychology. Actually, love for Krishna satisfies the love in all living entities and the love that they have for each other. Because Krishna is the source of everything. He is the source of this very love. So when Vaishnavas come together, there is a very strong bond that is created because of the love that they have for Krishna. So like this Yudhishthir, with all his younger brothers and with his wife, he shared a very loving relationship, keeping Krishna in the focus, keeping Krishna in the center. So Hanuman then said to Narada, "Okay, Narada, I have spoken enough. I cannot say any more. I'm just a forest monkey And you know much more about them. You're a great sage. You know about them. You personally know the Pandavas. You know Lord Krishna. So instead of spending more and more time listening to what all I have to say, listening to me, rather you must go ahead. You go fast. Go and meet the Pandavas. Don't waste any more time here. Just go. See for yourself. Proceed now. Go and see how the Pandavas are serving Krishna. So he said, I will stay back here because I can't change my mind. But you have every opportunity. So you immediately go and see the Pandavas. So Narada was very, very happy. And he raced to the capital city of Hastinapur to meet with the Pandavas. So he was excited to see the Pandavas who were an example of very nice, committed devotees. So we'll stop there. And with that, we'll move on. Next week, we will move on to the next chapter, which is Priya, the Beloved. And the love and the devotion that we are going to see further is going to intensify more and more. So I'll stop here. I think I went over time. Any questions, comments, realizations, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna. Let me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Very, very wonderful. What can I say? Very, very nice. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Komodaki Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for coming on the call, blessing us.
Thank you. One time I missed that. I had doctor's appointment, so I missed one.
Mama, college.
Hare Krishna. I hear the recording. Thank you.
Mataji, can you be a little louder?
Yes, I missed one class because I had doctor's appointment. And so I missed it. Then later on, I hear the recording. But it's very nice listening in person like this and talk to you or say it's nice anyway. Hare Krishna, both are nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Komodaki Mataji. Dandavat pranams to you.
Dandavat pranams.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you so much for our wonderful insight class. Mataji, just one, I don't know, it's a comment. It's not a comment, rather, it's a question. When we talk about Lord Hanuman, like Murari Gupta, right? You gave an example that how, even I heard that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to chant this whole Hare Krishna mantra, so the whole night he was trying to chant, but then he was saying Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then again he started with Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. See, it was impossible for him to even chant the name of Krishna. And so, you know, he beat and he said, okay, let me just give up my life that I cannot please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this dedication of Murari Gupta or Lord Hanuman towards Lord Ram, how we can understand, because we also come across a lot of people who are too much, you know, into Ramayana and who are too much, attached to Lord Rama or Ram Darbar, and, you know, then just teaching them about Krishna and telling them about Bhagavad Gita, you know, it becomes impossible for them, and they say that, no, Bhagavad Gita we really can't understand, you know, but if you take classes on Ramayana, then, you know, you will be very pleased to join, and, you know, so how to tell them, because then they can also say that if you say to Hanuman to worship Krishna, as you gave an example that about how Garuda, when he came, so Lord Hanuman was quite reluctant, you know. He said that he'll go and meet Lord Dwarkadish, but, you know, he took time. But as soon as he came to know about Lord Rama, and he just went. So can you just throw light on this matter?
So the question is, if we see devotees who are fixed in the devotion to Lord Ram, what should we do? Is that the question?
Yeah, like what should we do to them? Because they don't understand that Bhagavad Gita, or even they don't want to accept that Krishna is the Supreme.
Yeah, I think Mataji, philosophy is very important. Yes, they can have exclusive devotion to Lord Ram, but Lord Ram and Lord Krishna, at least for them, initially we can say that they are in tattva, they are non-different. And, you know, the teachings of Lord Ram wouldn't be different from the teachings of Lord Krishna. So katha, yes, their choice of listening to Ramayana is because of their devotion or their choice of their Ishtadev, that is fine. But then the philosophy that Ram talks or Krishna talks is definitely non-different from each other. So it would be initially, this is what I am just telling you, what, you know, that's coming to my mind rather. Initially, it would be a good idea to talk about the, you know, the commonness in that Vishnu Tattva, you know, they're all common. And then we can see, as we listen to the Bhagavad Gita, because understanding philosophy is actually very important. It's not enough if we just have sentiment. Sentiment is one thing, but philosophy is also very important. It's extremely important for us to become steadfast devotees, at least in our conditioned state. Now, Hanuman, he was a very advanced devotee. He didn't have to go through Bhagavad Gita classes, but we, as sadhana bhaktas, in our conditioned state, we definitely need the basic understanding of philosophy. So even if, you know, if they can listen to the Bhagavad Gita with the understanding that Krishna and Rama are ultimately the same personality, that will be good. But they should definitely listen to philosophy. Ram Katha, yes, they can immerse themselves in Ram Katha, no harm. But, you know, clarity should be there, you know. Sometimes, you know, many people, they just have sentiment. It may not even be a valid thing, like how Hanuman is feeling or like how Murari Gupta was feeling. It is more on a sentimental level. So if we can encourage them to listen to the basics, that will be great, Mataji. That is what I think. And of course, they can immerse their Bhagavatam. So what?
Yes. Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, okay. As you said that, you know, we sadhaka bhaktas, you know, we have to really dive into the philosophy and not on the level of Hanuman that we can just say that, you know, because they don't understand. So we have to tell them first that, yes, Rama and Krishna and, of course, Gaura is one and the same thing. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Mataji, and thank you for your beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ketita Sundari Mataji. You are so encouraging, and I feel very, very happy when you come on the call. Thank you so much for your very special association, Mataji. Very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. And of course, you know, morning class, I was not there, but now I'm glad that I wasn't there. So, but your spontaneous class was really good. I heard the recording. So thank you for that too.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasni Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Very beautiful class. I was not speaking in the beginning because I was checking both Mataji. YouTube, we can hear the questions also now. It's very nice, Mataji.
You can.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yes. Because my phone not good.
We can hear, but it is not little high volume, Mataji, little low, but we can hear the questions.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very nice. And very beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful class. And morning class, I was on YouTube, Mataji. It was so beautiful. I was not on the conference call, but I was on YouTube. It was so beautiful, Mataji. Hare Krishna. And two classes, Mataji. I'm so happy today. I'm so happy. All glories to your service, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
All glories to your committed services, Vanya, Mataji. Are you back?
Yes, Mataji, I am back. Yesterday night, Mataji, I am back. It is very nice. I could chant 64 rounds and very nice, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prithivilasini Mataji. Thank you very much for the wonderful class, as usual, and a lot of interesting points that you discussed about, and especially the question that Kirtida Sundari Mataji was asking. I was just relating how some people were are attached to Lord Ram because he is the ideal man, the Purushottama, so the ideal Purusha. But some people are not in agreement with, you know, Krishna because he uses a lot of diplomacy, especially in the Kurukshetra war, in telling, you know, small lies and, you know, in trying to use, while killing Karna and while also killing Dronacharya, he used a lot of diplomacy and he was not a very straightforward because he says that for such people you need to use these kind of tricks. So it's very difficult to justify, you know, Krishna, Lord Krishna's behavior. He is God. It's very difficult for us to understand as common men how these things can be justifiable and how we should not follow it blindly, but, you know, Krishna can do it because he knows what is the best. So I think that is one of the reasons also, just wanted to comment. But of course, like that, people comment a lot of things, even about the, you know, gopis, rasa dance, and, you know, like how you said about the 16,000 108 wives, how you consider this person as God, and like that, so many arguments can be given against Krishna, you know, I mean, at least for people who want to just plainly argue, they have a lot of points like that. But ultimately, you know, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, it's very difficult to understand Krishna as he is. So, just wanted to add that thing that came to my mind. Thank you.
Saroj Nandini Mataji, thank you so much. Thank you for giving back. Thank you, Mataji. So nice to hear your voice.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
There's also like Lord Ramachandra, he, you know, he like this Mataji, I don't know the name of Mataji, that he presented as ideal personality in every way, you know, as a son, as a husband, as a king, as brother, and all this. And so they are attracted. So then he says that how Lord Ramachandra acted ideally. So we should follow those ideals in life.
Correct.
And Krishna, what he instructs, those instructions we should follow, not what he does that we should do.
Correct. So follow Lord Ramachandra, listen to Lord Krishna. Correct?
Yes. So they are saying that he had a 16,000 wives, queens. It's nothing in comparing to his position.
Correct.
And so many gopis as friends, it's also not enough. Because he is a supreme personality of Godhead. Everything belongs to him. He just presented this very few queens and very few gopis to dance with and have association with the queens like that.
Very nice. Yeah. The husband of all, yes.
Yes. That's what Prabhupada also said. Somebody said this about Krishna. Then Prabhupada said, you are associating with Krishna's wife. Why are you doing that? He's not your wife, he's Krishna's wife. So, yeah, but ideal king, is, you know, we follow ideal king in our behavior. We should become ideal. That is a lesson from Ramachandra. And for Krishna, he gives instruction, surrender unto me, so then we should do that and follow his instruction. That's what the essence is.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So nice.
Thank you, Kamodhika Mataji.
You're welcome.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very, very beautiful Mataji. Now the volume is high, Mataji. We can hear very nicely the question also.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
And about Ramachandra, they say that I want to worship Ramachandra and not the Krishna or the against the Krishna. So then are they sold out to Ramachandra? They have to be sold out. Then they can say, okay, like in the Hanumanji and Murari Gupta, and also Rupa Goswami, the Goswami's younger brother, Anupama, they are all sold out to Lord Ramachandra. They could not, they cannot take their head out of the underneath of the Lord Ramachandra's lotus feet. They rather die, they rather leave the body, but they cannot do it. So that's what is the following or observe, accepting the Lord is like that. So just for saying sake for this or like criticizing Krishna, then they say like that, then it's not proper.
Correct. Very, very true, Mataji. Very true. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Priti Lasini Mataji. Very wonderful class.
Thank you. Thanks to you too for the very wonderful class and for the very wonderful morning class as well. Thank you, Mataji.
Well, I'm just hearing all of you, and I'm just speaking out like a parrot. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji, we are all repeating.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, I heard parts of the class and it was very beautiful. I also do have a question. I'm not sure if Kirtida Sundari Mataji asked the same question because I missed that part. Mataji, I wanted to know, is it okay for us to have a Ishta Devata, like a one particular favorite god, right? Because we have so many. Right now we are told to worship. Okay, yes, you need to pray to Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, then Radha Devi. We need to make sure that we pray to Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Gaur Nithai, and everyone, right?
Yes. All these rupas can be worshipped. It's fine.
But we'll have, I mean, for at least personally, I feel like I have one favorite and I kind of always lean towards that. So is that okay? Or do we have to keep all of them at the same platform?
No, you can understand philosophically and how this, in the scriptures and the acharyas have explained about the supremacy of Krishna. So we should understand that and feel we have affection for some other Vishnu Tattva deities. That's fine.
That's fine. Yeah.
But we should understand, we can have knowledge, we should accept that. Yes, but I have attachment for Lord Ramachandra, I have attachment for Narasimha Deva, I have attachment for Varaha Deva, or whatever in Vishnu Tattva deity is fine.
Thank you, Kamal. Indu Mataji, hear the answer?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much, Mataji. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please ask me, Mataji. If that is the case, like what Indu Mataji was asking, that yes, we can have, attachment either to Valhadev or Narasimhadev, but it isn't that, we'll be, as Gauriya Vaishnavas, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taught us, and if we have affection to Valhadev or Narasimhadev, wouldn't be that we would be landing into some of the Vaikuntha Loka where Lord Varahadev or Lord Narasimhadev is there? So Priti Vilasini Mataji would like to add?
Yeah, so Mataji, if there is some kind of... most of us, since we have taken initiation in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya,
obviously we have attachment to different forms of Krishna, in the sense like Krishna or, you know, Jagannath or like that, you know, basically Krishna's forms, Krishna and Dwarka, Krishna and Vrindavan, like that, Radha Krishna, like that. Now, if there is someone who has an intense attachment to Narsingadev, for that matter, because Narsingadev is also worshipped in our temples, right? So if they have a very intense attachment to Narsingadev and they are always thinking only of Lord Narsingadev, there is a very good possibility that they actually reach, as you said, Lord Narsingadev's abode. That is how it is, Mataji. If that is their constitutional position, we cannot change it. So if their constitutional position is to be a servant of a particular deity, that is what it is.
It doesn't mean, Mataji, but you say it for our Gaudiya Sampradaya. It is that our goal is Radha Krishna. But the other Vishnu Tattva deities, devotees, if they have that so much intense affection, then maybe gradually they may come up to Radha Krishna.
Yes, still the constitutional position is revealed till then, yes. Definitely there is a chance of moving up and down, you know, moving from one Ishtadev to the other. But then once the constitutional position is revealed, it becomes fixed and they reach only that destination. So till then, there is a chance to move around. Is that what you're saying, Kamataki Mataji?
Yes, they may, like from, you know, from Dasya to that, and then move to Satya, Vatsalya, like that, to an Ashtadev.
But this eternal relationship of being a Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, it's not a ladder where one
it's
can...
It's not a ladder.
I'm not saying about ladder. But as a... If they have attraction, like there was I read somewhere that one was serving as a servant, Dasya, but then had an attraction for serving as to Jasoda Maya or something like that. So then gradually they can mature into that and then get this. So Ashit Mata Yashoda or Ashit Gopis in serving Krishna like that.
So, Ketira Mataji, initially, till the exact constitutional position is revealed, there is a chance to move around. You know,
yes.
They might be initially fixed in a, you know, in a bhava of as they progress in their sadhana. So, till they reach their constitutional position and understand their real identity, there is a chance to move around. I think that's what she's meaning, Mataji is meaning. Not exactly like a ladder, like you progress from one stage to the other.
We will be seeing this in this Gopakumar's, in this Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
Mataji,
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I'll go show Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Just for Sri Lakshmi. I just came on at the end. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the whole class in the beginning. Just came with the question and answers. I just wanted to add one more thing. A couple of years ago, I had asked Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He was giving a class. And I don't know if this answers the question, but and I had asked him, could, even though we're worshiping as, you know, I'm initiated, you know, but can you hear me?
No.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Said that if our constitutional position or our attraction is to Lord Vishnu in his four-armed form, is that a position that we would be in? Would that be appropriate, or would that be a position for us? And how is that as far as hierarchy goes, higher, lower, considering that we are on the dasana and you know, one of the five main Madhurya rasa and all those other main five rasas. And he had explained that yes, if that is your constitutional position, yes, you could come to that point. And there is no higher or lower for that, because that is, for you, that's perfect. It may not be perfect for somebody else, but for you, that is the ultimate position. That is the best position for, because you, that is, for you, you're, for you as personally, that is the ultimate. Does that make sense? I'm trying to explain this in the right way.
That's what, you know, even I was looking for, and that's what I think even Preeti Vilasini Mataji was saying. That till the time we don't reach to our constitutional position, till that time, though we can move hither and thither, but once we reach our constitutional position, then, you know, that becomes the eternal, you know, our position. And it may vary, because as Panishri Mataji was saying, it's not an hierarchy, it's not a ladder. A person who is in a Dasya Bhav and he wants to serve Krishna or any, you know, avatar of Krishna in a form of a Dasya is almost, you know, it's same as a person who is serving in a Vatsalya, because that's his constitutional position as Dasya. So that's what, you know, even I was looking for. So, right. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think the best example that I could think of is like ice cream, you know, and if you like chocolate ice cream, I mean, you like chocolate ice cream, it's just, you know, you're not going to be satisfied until you get that, you know, if you get vanilla or strawberry or whatever, your favorite is that, your position, you know, that very mundane example, but.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you all, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pani. Lakshmi Mataji. I don't know how if I pronounce it right.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
I was just mixed up. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mataji's, can I ask one more question now that Shanishwari Mataji also put in her input and everyone's talking about your constitutional position. Now, how do I know what my position is? Right now, I'm still figuring things out. So at what point would we really know? Okay, yes, this is what we are supposed to go for. And if that is the case, then would we end up in, like what Mataji, Kirti Dasundari Mataji was saying, we would end up in just a Vaikuntha planet or some other planet. And is that all right? Or is our ultimate goal always to only aim for Goloka Vrindavan?
What is your name, Mataji?
I'm Indu.
Indu Mataji.
Can I add something for that?
Yes,
ma'am.
So my the thing is that we're not aiming for anything, in the sense that we're not looking. We're, our only goal is to serve Lord Chaitanya. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as servants of Lord Chaitanya, we are just, we're not actually, you know, I want to get to this position, so I'm going to do all these things to get to that position. That's not the mood that we're in. The mood that we're in is, I have a relationship with Krishna, a personal relationship with Krishna, whatever. That's the fact. In whatever of a form or whatever mood that may be. But as disciples, grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the line of disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya, our only goal is to serve Lord Chaitanya. So basically, whatever that means, in whatever our prescribed duties may be, whatever our devotional duties may be, we are doing those for the pleasure of Guru and Gauranga. That is our only, from my understanding, is our only focus. Now, in that process, the whole reason for this process is to uncover and develop the relationship eventually. And that will be revealed by Guru at some point. So we don't have to become anxious, anxious, perturbed by, oh my gosh, I've got this attraction for four-handed form of Vishnu. I can't do that. I have to be focusing on this because I'm supposed to be a whatever, following in the Araganuga Bhakta of such and such. So this is too much tapatriyam. This is too much, we are confusing and we are, agitating ourselves unnecessarily. This is completely, not necessary for us. So, I mean, like I said, so our main mood, just serve Guru and Gauranga. Just follow the instructions of our spiritual master. If you see all these other gurus, all they're doing, Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, Radhana Swami, they are just following the instructions of their spiritual master. And everything else, Krishna and Guru and Gauranga will take care of. So that's just my understanding and my humble opinion. Thank you, Matajis.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah.
Very nice. Yes,
perfect answer. Very simple, yeah. Very clear. It just clears my mind completely. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
By worshipping Guru and Gauranga, we'll get wherever or whenever we have purified that position. So they will reveal to us.
Hari Vos. Very, very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you very much, Panishwari Lakshmi Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can I ask one more question if time allows?
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, so Mataji, you were referring about Narada Muni going to Dwarka and seeing Krishna doing different activity with all his different wives. You know? So just want to know that is there any reference in Bhagavatam or somewhere where it says that Krishna has that relationship of a grahastha with all his 16,108 wives, or only with his principal 8 wives, but rest, he just accepted for the sake because of the circumstances that they were put in.
I think the question has two parts. One is, how did he deal with all the 16,108 wives? Did he deal like the perfect grihastha with each one of them? That is the first part of the question, right? Okay.
Yes.
So, and the second part of the question was, how did he accept them? Like, just for the sake of situation, he accepted them. So, yes, the chapter that describes about the 16,108, how Krishna served in Dwarka, in that chapter, there are so many verses that talk about not just the 8 queens, but about all the 16,108 queens. Everywhere he served like a perfect grihastha. I mean, he was, acting like a perfect grihastha with all his wives, because he had children with all his wives. He had 10 children with all his wives, and all of them, he was like a perfect grihastha with each one of them. That entire chapter talks about that. And yes, when he accepted the 16,100 queens from, the captivity of Narakasura, where he had kept all of them captive, that was a situation. So it was a situation where he had to take them as queens because they were, abandoned, or rather nobody else would take their hand. So therefore, Krishna had to give them the status of queens. He accepted them and he also gave them the status of queens. But however, the, like they say, Patta Mahishi, the primary queens were the 8 queens whom he had gone in search of and he married, he went, and these description of the marriage of the 8 queens are separately dealt with. But the 16,100 he all got at the same time. But when he was dealing with the 16,108, it was equal in the sense that he lived like a perfect grihastha with each of one of them. So did that help, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji.
It's 1069, Mataji. It has many verses that talks about many queens. It was not only with the 8 queens, it was with everyone.
Okay.
Thank you, Mata.
Thank you, Mata.
And it also explains that how when he goes to the assembly house, or he comes out from all the palaces, 16,108 palaces.
They come.
And becomes, you know, all gets one, and then he becomes one, and then goes to assembly house. When he comes back, then he expands himself again and goes with him to the Amic palaces, 16,108 palaces.
Yes. Yes. So when he goes into the Sudharma Hall, all the 16,108 become one. He goes to the Sudharma Hall and he comes again to each palace. They again become 16,108 Krishnas and he goes.
But nobody else can understand that because only they see just one. Krishna. All the queens see that they all, he's with us, he's with me, he's with me. All the, like the gopis were thinking when the, in the Rasa dance, that only Krishna is dancing with me. But he was with every gopi.
Yeah. Very nice, very nice, Mataji. Thank you.
Very, very wonderful class, Maharaj, in discussion also. It's very nice.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class and very discussion, as Komaliki Mataji said. Very nice class, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you for your association.
Thank you, Mataji. They are all very nice, serving. They are everybody. Very nice.
Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Gurudev. This is Smriti Kishori, Devi Dasi calling. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I know it's getting very late, but you mentioned the fact that, you know, personally we may not have seen each other, but still there's a love and affection between everyone in this group. And I think that's so relevant and just an amazing, because even not knowing you, you know, I showed up at your doorstep one day, and you so lovingly, you know, took care of me and so forth. So just, you know, I think that extends to everyone over here that, you know, if anyone ever shows up at any of our doorsteps, you know, just it's such a loving group and feel like family and association. So I just wanted to thank you for that and thank you for all these lovely classes. So thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Nitya Kishori Mataji. What a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for gracing our, you know, us with your association, coming to my place. Thank you so much. So fortunate, Mataji. You are so fortunate. Thank you.
No, it was my great fortune to meet you. So thank you so much.
Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Mataji. So much of nectar, Mataji. Thank you all the Mataji for sharing.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji, for always being there for us, giving realizations, encouraging us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, is there anyone wanted to add anything or say anything for Mataji? Okay, thank you. If there is no more question or comment for Mataji, thank you all for joining and giving your session. And let us offer obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas who are in the call. Vancha Kalpataro Pyasya Kripa Sindhu Jayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindiki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna Sthiti Vilasini Mataji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Sthiti Vilasini Mataji.
Hare Krishna, my name is Brinda.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Very wonderful.
All glories to the Asambal devotees. Hare Krishna, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Komati Ki Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.